Hey, welcome back, guys. You know, getting through all this work in this final holiday week has been like, it's almost felt like an impossible mission. You know, I love my segues. Speaking of Mission Impossible, have you heard the Tom Cruise audio?
It's pretty rough, in my opinion. So apparently he, in my opinion, berated a crew, not for poor reasoning, but I think, okay, so, well, Sharif, tell us more about what happened, then I'll give you what my opinion is.
So essentially, Tom Cruise is out in, it's either London or Paris, I'm not sure, but he is filming for the newest Mission Impossible movie. And essentially, they had already been shut down previously, like back in October, because of 12 people tested positive. And so they finally got back to filming. And I think this all stemmed, based on the article, it all stemmed because in an editing bay, two people were like hovering over the computer, right? You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be 6 feet away. That upset him. And then that brings you to him talking to, or yelling, if you will, to the crew about how, you know, if they don't stay COVID compliant, they're going to get fired. Because if one of them messes up, then that messes up things for everyone. It messes up the entire production has to shut down. People could lose their jobs. And he was also stating that, like, you know, Hollywood on our side has looked at the Mission Impossible production, because for all intents and purposes, they've been doing good, as like a way of
setting the precedent within
the
new world of filming,
setting the bar. Yeah. Yeah. Being like a good lesson on how to run a COVID compliant set. So he was upset because he's like, yo, y'all need to stop. And so in my opinion, yeah, it was a rough video, or rough audio rather, but it was just frustration.
I hear you. And I understand the frustration, especially as someone whose job is to make sure people are compliant on set right now. But I just think that, like, I think he could have gone about it in a different tone. And I think that's not as effective when it's just out of like pure rage. I don't know. I just think it was like almost disrespectful to the people working on his crew. And I'm not, that doesn't cancel out the validity of his argument, of course.
The other argument to that, though, is that we're just hearing audio that someone chose to release. Like, for all we know, every day Tom could have easily been walking by and be like, hey guys, remember, gotta say COVID compliant. Hey guys, COVID, don't mess it up. And then finally, you know, everyone gets to a breaking point. Okay, this is Tom Cruise. He jumped on Oprah's couch. He's done other stuff.
That's what I'm saying. This is Tom Cruise.
Correct.
So we
get that. We get that portion. But people have breaking points. And I can understand his frustration if he's like, yo, we're trying to make this movie and not have it get shut down, because he also wants to be safe. I do think he is worried and cares about the safety of the crew as well. And so he's like, y'all, do y'all not care? I think that's his stance.
Yeah, but there's just so much, if you listen to the audio, there's so much ego in what he's, in the way he's saying what he's saying, if you ask me.
But he also does say we. He does say we.
Yeah, but like the whole thing at the beginning when he talks about, I'm on the phone with every studio every night, whatever. It's like, bro, like, everyone's there to do their job, and like, if people aren't complying, that's
part of that job
thing,
is
like,
to comply.
I know. I agree with that. I entirely agree with that. I just think that his tone could have been more effective had he channeled it in a different way.
For sure. I think we could both agree that, like, kind of stemming it all together is that, like, a lot of his points were valid as far as COVID compliance. But at the end of the day, this is Tom Cruise. Yeah. I think we can apply.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're just certainly not wrong. Anywho, I love a little heated debate to kick off the
a little bit.
And then I wanted to start a new thing this week where we do like a pick of the week. Are you down for that?
Yeah, so let's do it.
It can either be a song/album. It could be a new TV show. It could be a movie, or you could do one of all three. If you're feeling fancy.
If you have been watching my, if you're friends with me on Spotify and you've been seeing my recently played, you know that since Friday, all I've been listening to is Man on the Moon 3, The Chosen. It's incredible. It's album of the year for me.
I haven't listened to it yet. Can you believe? I just had a busy weekend.
What's wrong with you?
A lot, I think.
You need to hop onto that next.
I know. Like, I'll listen to it tonight.
So good. It's so good, honestly. And I'm so happy for Cudi because, you know, I think he's been getting a lot of wins recently, not only with like the music, but acting. And so I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, he's rocking it.
And then another pick I'd put out is I've been binging this show called Heartbreak High. On Netflix. It is an Australian show.
Ooh.
And it's essentially like the Australian version of Degrassi.
Okay.
I started watching it because they're making a reboot of it that'll come out in the future. And I was like, oh, let me go check out the old episodes because they're on Netflix. And I'm 20 episodes into 226 episodes, I think. So whoa. I've got a ways to go, but I'm excited.
That's a dark hole, my friend. I wish you luck on that journey.
It's lovely. I've now, when I started watching, I was like, oh, I like this. This is cool. Let me keep watching. Now that I'm at episode 20, the last one, I shut it off because I was like, let me go to bed. But I'm at that point where it's like, you just can't wait to press play again because like stuff is like steaming up.
You are addicted.
You know, yeah. And it's perfect because we're about to go on break. So I'm about to just binge that whole thing.
True.
What about you? What are your picks?
I have a couple, actually.
Ooh, that's why she wanted to start it. She was like, I got stuff.
I do. I have some stuff that I think is really exceptional that I'd like to shout out. Specifically, the music artist, Kacey Hill. K-A-C-Y space Hill, H-I-L-L. I had never really heard of her stuff until very recently. And now I'm like, can't stop playing it. It's just so, her voice and sound is so mesmerizing. So give her a listen. I feel like I am like her stage mom right now, obviously. I don't know. I just really think she has such a nice quality to her voice.
Nice. Yeah, I have I Believe in You saved.
That's one of them. And then Everybody's Mother is one of my favorite songs of hers that I've discovered so far.
Nice.
And then my TV pick of the week is The Flight Attendant on HBO Max. Kaley
Cuoco.
Yeah. It's a dark comedy and it definitely gets darker as it goes on. I like don't want to say too much.
Does it take place only on a plane?
No. Not just on a plane.
Did you ever watch that show on, I think it was Fox?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I think I watched the whole thing. It wasn't great, but
the New York to Vegas or whatever it was.
Yeah.
LA to Vegas. Yeah. I did a scene from that in an acting class once. It was actually pretty funny. Yeah. But that one got canceled after one season. That was a few years back. But no, this one's really good. It's like psychological dark comedy. I don't want to say anything else. Just give her a watch. And then I don't have a movie pick of the week, honestly. I have not been finding the bandwidth for feature films as of recently. So,
yeah, no, I.
TV is where I've been residing.
I definitely hear you on that.
So this week we chat with the lovely Chris Campbell.
Yes. It was a great chat. It was nice to hop into the theater world. I think every guest so far, this is our fifth episode with a guest, and I think every episode it's been a different type of person. Because you have like a comedian, you had a singer, a director, a podcaster / actor, but now this one's like a theater actor,
a theater storyteller.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a really cool chat with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk a lot about adapting to Zoom for the world of theater specifically, and even more so specifically for Chris, choreography via Zoom, and just about, you know, how he got into all this, and just give her a listen, you know?
Yeah,
I don't want to bore you with the details. Just hear him straight from his mouth.
Right. Yeah, he was really cool. It was nice to be able to hear from him. He has a cool story about something he did down in Puerto Rico with some cool names.
Yeah, it was
probably,
in Hamilton.
You'll probably recognize a couple of them. And yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And thank you again, guys, for listening. You know, if you're here, if you've heard all 5 episodes, if you're still with us, we appreciate you.
Yeah, all 40 of you. We love you.
No, it's more than that, you know.
I know.
It's a good bunch, and we're only growing.
Yeah.
And you guys
small
are all
mighty.
Here at this small but mighty phase when we will become big and mightier. Yes.
Indeed. Anything else you want to say?
Next week. So after this episode next week, the next 2 episodes are going to be a little different. And you'll see why. But excited
so
for
ominous.
Those. Don't want to give out too much. But yeah.
So vague.
We appreciate you listening, and we hope you like this episode. As always, you can follow us at don'tchangethechannel.podcast. You can also find me at sharif.t.bakari on Instagram.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Marielle Winand. And I think that's all the ats I have for you right now.
Yeah, let's run it.
Enjoy.
Is this thing on?
I think so.
Cool.
Wait. Don't change the channel.
Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to Don't Change the Channel. I'm your host, Sharif T. Bakari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Marielle Winand. And we are here with our guest, Christopher Campbell, also known as just Chris Campbell.
Just Chris Campbell.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely.
Yeah, little backstory quickly, how Chris and I know each other.
We go way back.
Literally. We grew up together doing youth theater in Naples, Florida. We were buddies in this program there called Kids Act, which was pretty influential. I'll speak for myself. It's for me, for better or worse. For better, I think, at least when we were there. But yeah, so Chris, welcome to the pod.
Yes, hello. Yes,
welcome to the pod. So with our new guests, every time we like to start off with this thing that we call sweet and salty. And, you know, basically it's your, what was your high and low of the week? You know, what made you feel good? What made you feel a little salty, you know? So what do you have?
Okay, I've got a really good one because they happened like within the span of an hour of each other. Or
hour of each other, then.
So this week, a friend of mine, a dear friend from college, came into town. She's crashing here with my roommate and I. And so she arrived middle of the week. And so it was Thursday. I just left a rehearsal for this project I'm working on. I had therapy. And I'm on the train. I'm on my way home, going to see my friend, my roommate, my dog. We're gonna kiki. It's gonna be a moment.
Love a kiki.
That's definitely my sweet. And the moment I step into the apartment, like the door closes, and I get a text from this crazy ex.
Dang.
That's how it rolls. It seems to be.
Right.
Sharif, what about you?
Sweet. All right. So I think my sweet is going to be. Yesterday, actually, me and my friends, I have this like collective I'm in. It's called like 405, the label that I do like music stuff with. And yesterday, we were all just jamming and like came up with like 2 really good song concepts that like I'm excited for. So that was definitely a sweet because it was like, what is Saturday? And I was like, I want to do something, right? Because I almost went to the place that I think Mariel's going to mention. But I was like, I want something to do. And I had nothing to do. And then finally, we just started jamming. And then it just turned out to be like a great night. My salty is going to be that as of right now, the Lakers are losing to the Heat. But by the time y'all hear this, they will have won the finals. I know that. So So this game, right? This game three won't matter because they're gonna win game three anyway. But yeah, that's my salty.
Okay. So yeah, I think my sweet is last night. I had a silly little night with a friend. where she and I went to this restaurant here in LA called Saddle Ranch. But the real sweet of this here is our server, Francois. So if you go to Saddle Ranch, ask for Francois. He was an absolute gem and gave us a free round of tequila shots. So love to see it. And my salty is that I have to go get a cavity filled this week. It's an upcoming salty. You know, it hasn't happened, but.
Ooh, me too. I'm getting one done next Saturday. Really? Yeah.
Tis the season.
Tis the season.
Maybe we need some sort of dental products to sponsor us.
Right?
Help us out, Jesus.
Right? I feel that.
Yeah, no, it's coming up.
So, sorry for the listeners if you guys know this already, but how do you guys know each other? Because
no, this is great. We like allude to it, but we never really like get into it. Okay. Well, no, we probably do at some point in some episode, but we, Sharif and I met when we were both in quotes abroad in Los Angeles through BU.
Yep, this is in 2017. January.
Yeah, spring of 2017. They call it BU in LA.
I first met Mariel. Yes, BU in LA. Yep, and I first met Mariel actually by coming as a friend of one of her friends' guest to her birthday. I think it's actually a lot bigger of a chain because I think I came with like Montana, who was living with Miranda. Was coming there, and Mariel had, you know, bottle service. And she was like, guys, come. And I was like, shoot, I'm going to do this.
That makes me sound like such a brat.
Of course you had bottle service.
Guys, it was my 21st birthday. Cut me a break, okay?
Oh, my God.
It was my 21st birthday, and I was, in quotes, abroad in L.A. I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah. It was fun, though. That was my first time at Bungalow. So it was cool. I liked it.
It was at the Bungalow. If you're in L.A., and you hear that, you'll understand. Of course, the 21st birthday was there. It makes sense. We met there. And then we, part of that program over that span of semester is that you take classes in the evening while you have an internship during the day.
Right.
In the entertainment industry. And so a lot of the classes were kind of like, there's only like 90 kids in the program in total. So a few of the classes were like everyone or majority of them. So I think we probably had like one or two classes together also, Sharif. And then you just kind of like met people. Yeah. So that's how we met. And then Sharif was a grade above me at BU. So that was your second semester, senior year, right?
Yep. I was on my way out.
Yeah. So yeah. And then we've just stayed in touch. And then we like, we're going to collab on this project like a year ago or so. That's like similar but different as to what this is now, and that didn't come to be, which is fine. And then back in April, we reconnected and we're like, how about a podcast? Dare I say. Everyone else is doing it. Might as well do it too.
Right?
Also, I'm sitting at home a lot, so.
Exactly.
Why not? Again,
awesome.
We kind of just wanted to pair up and talk to creatives in the industry, and that's kind of like the whole premise of Don't Change the Channel, and also why it has that name, because everyone that we bring on, it's people that we deem people that should be watched because they're going to be going places and are places, and it's kind of like, you know, stay tuned and stick your eyes on that TV and watch what they're doing.
Oh my gosh,
I'm raising my eyebrows up and down right now. So that's that story. So Chris, give us your like elevator pitch.
My elevator pitch.
I feel like that is like a very like icky industry term. So don't like think of it in those terms, but just kind of like your spiel, and then we'll go into the in-depth more.
Okay. Just kind of like what I do, like my work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like your overall.
Yeah. So I like to think of myself as a theater storyteller. Sometimes that's through the vein of performer, actor, singer, dancer. And sometimes that's on the other side of the table as a director or choreographer. And I like to tell stories, and sometimes they're stories that are fun and silly, and sometimes they're really heartbreaking. My main gig right now is I'm currently the dance captain in the national tour of Hamilton. So once the world of theater resumes, whenever that happens, hopefully soon, but not before we're ready. That's what I'll be.
Yeah, stay safe.
Right. That's what I'll be going back to. And then after that, I hope to do more creating and telling stories and illuminating narratives that we don't get to hear from very often. You know.
Love that. That's yeah. Awesome. So what we try to do with our guests as well, you know, we go on this kind of like timeline, you know, like, what are you doing right now? Then we like to dive back into like how you got there. And then we like to, you know, touch on where you're trying to go. So like right now, I know you gave us your little elevator pitch, but like, what are you doing right now? Because I know we're all quarantined. We're all
right.
What are we all doing? I don't know. Waiting. Yes.
Right now, I am dipping my toes into the world of Zoom theater.
Okay.
Tell us more about that. Because I am so interested by how that works.
Right. So it's like slowly morphing into like a music video movie type feel. But all of my teaching will be done through Zoom. So it's at a university. Actually, it's at Boston Conservatory at Berkeley. In Boston. So it's one of their fall shows. It's a song cycle called Fugitive Songs. And I'm serving as the choreographer. And are you familiar?
No, I just no. Fugitive Songs sounds like a deep show.
Yes.
It's a really cool
concept. It's a song cycle, and it's basically it's all these voices, and they're all running from something, whether it's a person, a job, you know, past life, this, that.
Yeah.
And they're all like on the run the whole show. It's really, really cool. And
did you call it a song cycle?
Yeah, so
it's like a term for the structure of the show.
Yeah, so it's a musical with no dialogue. It's just sung through, and the songs don't really, they're connected less by like a plot and more by like a theme and idea.
Okay, so Hamilton, which is a musical, that is dialogue sung.
Yes, yes.
But this is like, they're not saying like, "Hi, nice to meet you." It's just songs.
Right.
Got it. Okay, cool.
I love that.
I think it was scene 7. I'm not sure.
Chris connection with the casting department.
Right. Hamilton is always hiring. Fugitive Song. So basically what I have to do is I have four dancers, and I'm five actually. One of them, she's in Chicago, and the rest are in Boston. So we're doing some stuff like filmed alone, and then some stuff they're going to come together, masked on, safely, socially distant, to film some of the pieces. But mostly, like, and then the singers are doing their own filming. And so everyone's filming, getting the material down, and then it's being edited into a nice digital production. Yes.
So cool. Yeah. So then that once that's edited all together, then that is going to be published online, or is there a live aspect as well?
No, they'll be streaming it. It'll be up for like, I think, a couple days.
Cool.
Nice.
And then.
It'll have the theater sense of being available for like a run, you know, it's manipulated in like a very artistic way to create this new age project. That's so cool.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, in a way, it honestly gives us so much more freedom.
Right.
Because we like, you can, well, one, you have takes. You can go anywhere, you can film anywhere, you know, like you want to be in a coffee shop for a number, like you can like create that. You know what I mean?
That's so
I think
that's really
You know, I think that it opens up the doors to like really like different, like really layered levels of storytelling.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. And as the choreographer, how for you has like, cause you've done choreography in person, and for you, like what's changed? Cause I know sometimes I'll see like choreographers get in the grid of it. Like if you want a dancer to get a certain move, you're going to like have them mirror it right behind you or something like that. Or you're with right. them. Like it's a lot different through virtual. So like, how has that been?
It's, well, we haven't said rehearsal, so
okay.
I will let you know, but no, I mean, the things I'm already like thinking about for me, it's like more of a technical side. I'm like,
yeah,
like how do you have a rehearsal, a dance rehearsal? Like if there's like feedback or if there's yeah. like, a delay, it's like, there's so many.
But yeah. How are you going to play the music at the same time?
We're going to figure
that out.
you know, it'll be interesting for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I'm really interested to see, like, because like you said, like, when I'm in the grid of it, like, you know, it's very, like, in the room, feeling the energy, you get into a groove, like, you know, every cast, every ensemble, like, you get into a groove, and, like, rehearsals become, like, such a, like, you get into a flow, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see how our flow is created virtually.
That's awesome. And so when does that show, how long will you be working on that?
Yes, we actually just extended. We got a little more time.
Nice.
But it's basically the whole month of October, and it'll be the first weekend in November. That is nice. When it'll be streaming.
Yeah. Awesome. That. Well, please share that link or
yeah, I will, totally.
Ticket or whatever you have to do to view it. I'd love to see that. And
yeah,
I'm excited. So that's what you're up to right now. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then let's rewind a bit. and then, so like, tell us in whatever order you feel how you more or less got to where you are right now. You can start with the wee days in Naples, Florida.
I have to.
Yeah. So start from, you know, start from the bottom up and then take us through adolescence into young adulthood.
It's so crazy, Marielle, because it literally starts with you. We like the first show I ever did.
I could cry.
So Kids Act was what age?
It was, I think the earliest age was like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
They
start up young.
Yeah.
They're like, we can charge a tuition at 3 years old. Let's do it.
Truly. I think we were 8 or 9?
We were 8. I was in second grade when I started there, and I feel like you and I started at the same time.
Yeah.
So second grade.
Well, my first show ever was Oliver.
Okay, so that was my first summer show.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. I think I had done like a one or two during that school year leading up to Oliver. Right.
Yeah. So I was in Oliver. And I literally, it was like home. Like I found home there. Mm. I remember I cried like for hours on like our last show because I couldn't bring myself to leave. I like had really fallen in love like that fast. Yeah,
as my mom always likes to say, we caught the theater bug.
Yes, yeah, we were bit by the bug.
Yeah.
And I've got so many silly stories from like that show in particular, just like already like from the auditions, like fully like being in like so into the world, and like I didn't get called back. I like got one call back for Oliver, and then like I got cut, and I remember like coming to my mom and being like
heartbroken, right?
Like heartbroken, like fully in it. Like,
the world was ending.
Yes. All it took.
That's
was
why I was with Secret Garden when I didn't get Mary in Secret Garden. I can ask my mom. It was as if, literally, as if the world was ending at like 10 years old.
Yeah, but honestly, like I'm so grateful for that place because they let us take it so seriously, and
it really did.
They took it so seriously, so like it was like we like did some really quality work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like the perfect place to like cultivate that love and passion for it, because it was like it was all volunteer, so like everyone just wanted to be there. So like
so this is for anyone listening that's like, what the fuck are they talking about? This is the Sugden Community Theater in Naples, Florida, where Chris and I are both from Naples, Florida, 239. And specifically, there's a program at the Sugden Community Theater called Kids Act, and it's for ages like 4 to 18. So just to give a little context.
Yeah. So yeah.
And
so,
was with the community theater and everything, because like, do you remember like how you were like, oh, mom, dad, or any like, I would want to do this? Like, was it like, hey, this is something you can do after school, like, let's put them in, and then you fell in love with it? Or was it like, I want to do this?
Yeah. How did you start there, Chris?
So crazy enough, my mother did a play there, I think, earlier that year. Do you remember that? Yeah, she did
was
a play
it
the, there.
What was it called?
I think it was called Mama Drama, and it was about...
That's such an iconic name. I don't even know what it's about, but I love it.
I think it was just about like baby mama drama. But my mom did a play there, and it was like, I think it was like two adult themes, so like my brother and I couldn't see it because we were so young at the time. So my mom did the theme, and she was like, do you want to do a show? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And the next show was Oliver. So it was introduced to me like through my mother. It was always like, I mean, I was always a theatrical kid and like always like dancing and singing. And like, it was always like, oh, we're going to put you in tap lessons. And it was like always like a like thing. But then like, I actually like, when I got to the age, I was like, actually, no, this is what I want to do.
So she was always of support, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They were always, always here.
They were like, go for it, honey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do your thing. Yeah. And then how was there a pivotal point, you'd say, maybe as we grew into high school more, where you were like, this is actually what I want to do as a career, as my livelihood for life?
So I remember it was my freshman year of high school. Back in Naples, I was still in public school at the time. I was doing like all these clubs. I was doing marching band, concert band, plus schoolwork. And then on top of that, I was also trying to do theater. And my schedule was so packed. Honestly, it was the best grade I think I ever had in all of high school. Because like,
crazy.
I had so little time.
Stay busy.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
I had so little time to like do work.
That's
that
how
I
was
done,
when
you
know? I was in chosen high school too. Like, I always was the most on top of my schoolwork when I also had like rehearsal and something else, because I was like, I know that this is the only hour and a half I have to do all of my homework. So I need to get it done.
truly. So I was going. And my like parents kind of like, they were like, you kind of need to decide. And I was like, kind of feeling like I had to kind of like pick something, mm-hmm. like, you know,
yeah.
I said, okay, well, I want to do theater. And I want like, and I like, I had to like really like be honest with myself. I was mm-hmm. like, you know, if I really want to like take this to the next level, like what do I need to do in this moment? And I found Interlaken, which was a boarding performing arts high school in like Northern Michigan. If you guys know the Michigan hand thing, it's like way up here, like basically Canada. In the middle of the woods, this small arts private boarding school, and they had theater there. So I knew of someone from our hometown who had gone. So I knew about the program, and I looked into it. And I
are you talking about Whitney?
Yes,
from Naples. Just wondering.
She was So she was a bit older than us. So she had gone through the program, and gone on, was like starting to start her career. And I auditioned one day, and I didn't really like tell my family. Like, I had mentioned it, but then I was like, you know what, let me audition.
Was it a video audition?
Yes, you could submit a video. And so I was like, if I get in, then we'll like have a conversation. So I sent in some really bad audition tape. I'm sure it was really bad.
Did you have to do like a monologue, 16 bars, and a dance and combo or something?
Right. Yeah. And like, and I think talk or like, you know, explain why you wanted to go or something. Yeah, and then I ended up getting in, and my parents were like, oh,
and this
okay.
is high school, just as a reminder, this is high school, this isn't even, we're not in that college yet.
Right, I was dead ass, I was so serious about it.
Obsessed, yeah, so this is love it.
Second semester of my freshman year of high school, and I found out over the summer, we were doing Cats, right? No.
Yeah,
no.
We did Cats the summer going into freshman year of high school.
Yes, no. This
thank
was,
God we did, because that unitard. years later.
we were doing 42nd Street.
I didn't do the next summer. I didn't do
right. And then
because I like, had a boyfriend and thought, you know, right, for her to be stupid.
So in the middle of rehearsals for 42nd Street, I found out and we scrambled and got everything together and I left for Michigan that fall. I had to be 14 years old. 14, 15. I had never left. Like, I'd never been to sleepaway camp. I'd never really, like...
That's a huge... I mean, you essentially went to college in a different way at 15.
Yes.
That's a huge adjustment at a really young age.
It was very, very big. But I will say the school is, like, great, and they have amazing resources, and... You know, and like it was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was like I think one of the best decisions of my life, and I don't think I at all would be where I am today if it weren't for that as well. So like I'm super, super grateful for that. And I think I've had like some of my like top artistic experiences, whether like participating or even viewing, like at that school. Like so much amazing art was just going on like 24/7. It was crazy. It was insane.
That's so awesome.
That's so great.
I think, so I'm super grateful for that. And then for college, I knew that because I got such an intense artistic experience and it was like so small and so like polarized, I knew I wanted to go to like a large university and I wanted to really like be able to like step outside my comfort zone and like really like take in a full
university. Yeah, how many kids were in your graduating class at Interlochen? Like your high school graduating class.
Oh gosh.
It was tiny though.
Tiny, like 100, 150, 200. Yeah, because the whole school was only like 500 students.
Okay.
It was very small. Yeah, it was very small.
So probably under 200 then.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I just asked that because as a fellow BFA college person, you know, there's a handful of programs that we all, I'm sure, considered while applying to colleges. And like, there are certain ones that are more esteemed than others, but within that there is, I would say, somewhat of a range of really small, really small schools as a whole. And then more larger universities that have a really good program.
Right.
And I feel like you going to UMich was a great example of like a big university that has such a honed specific program.
Yeah. And Michigan was just like crazy because it's like one of those movies, you know, like when they picture college,
the college movies.
It is like to the
I team. Just immediately think of like Seth Rogen films. Like what's that one? Neighbors.
Yes. Like, it is like college, you know? And I was like so ready for that because I was like, I missed out on so much in high school. Like I didn't have, like, we didn't have prom, we didn't have football games, we didn't have any of that, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I was like so ready to like do some normal shit and drink on the weekends, you know? So I was really grateful for that in college. And then so college happened, and while I was in college, to connect to what I'm working on now, I met an alum of our program, Mike Masalam, who I'm working with on this show, who is a dear friend of mine and loves to hire me. And I'm so grateful for him because he...
What's his name?
Mike Masalam.
Hi, Mike.
Yes. Hi, Mike. I love you, Mike. Mike keeps me employed and I'm so grateful for him. I met Mike in college because he's an alum of Michigan as well. So we connected there and then he's hired me after that. And then after college, we graduated, we did our showcase, in New York. I moved to New York. I was here for like a month and a half.
That's when I was in Prospect Park with you, right?
Yes.
We were reading those signs. in Prospect Park. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, yeah, for Oklahoma.
And then you booked the job.
And then I booked the job, yes, thanks to Marielle.
I'm a lucky charm, everyone, if you need to run sides for an audition, run them with me.
Yeah. Yeah, then I left that summer, and I've been pretty much gone since then until quarantine happened.
But you weren't always in San Francisco, right? Weren't you in Puerto Rico for a bit?
Yes. So after I did a couple of regional gigs, I started Hamilton the November 2018. And we were the Puerto Rico cast. Yeah. So this was literally, I still don't even think I've processed what that whole experience was, but I will try to sum it up for you all. We began rehearsals in November 2018, and we got to Puerto Rico end of December. We spent the New Year's there. There was a little bit of commotion because we had to switch venues at the last moment for like security reasons. Mm-hmm. So we had a little extra time. We had like a week in Puerto Rico.
Had a kiki.
And then, oh my God, we were like shot out of a cannon because we had to move theaters. Our tech schedule was like cut in half.
Crammed.
So we had like maybe like 3 or 4 days to like really tech the show before we had an audience, and we opened and we did the show with Lin-Manuel Miranda in Puerto Rico. With Lin. It was the most insane experience of my life.
Can you give us like tea? good Lin T. Like, what's he like?
Yeah, good Lin T. He's so nice. He's so like quirky and fun and chill, and like there was no ego at all. Like, he stepped into the show. Like, he was more nervous because he was like, "You guys, I don't know if I remember this." And we were like, "Girl, you're fine." But he would always like just drop little like nuggets about the show. Like, one of my favorite memories is we're like standing off stage, and we had just done Room Where It Happens, and we do this little like drive off stage, and he was like standing there, and he was like, why did I give him the best song in the show? He was like so upset in that moment. But yeah, no, he's amazing. And I would have these moments where we would be like in the show and I'm dancing and I'm like, wow, this sounds like I'm listening to like the original cast recording. And then I was like, oh yeah, because it's Lin's voice that I'm hearing right now.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. And backstage, it was pretty neat because we were sat right next to each other, our like dressing chairs. So we were always like, I was next.
Oh my God, you were buddies. dressing room buddies.
Pals. Not our dressing rooms, but our like our chairs
off stage.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah, nice. Just for like quick changes and stuff. Yeah. But no, I mean, being on the island and being like accepted and like taken in by the people on the island, they were so amazing. Like, no matter where you went, like, they knew you were with the show, so they were just so welcoming and like so grateful for us being there, and like it was just so beautiful. Like, Puerto Rico is amazing. Isn't it so stunning there?
I went the summer after the summer right before freshman year of college, right after I graduated high school, with my amazing friend Paola. I feel like you know Paola, San Diego, maybe. So I went and stayed with her family for a bit, and speechless. It's beautiful.
It's stunning. And they were still, I mean, some parts of they were still rebuilding from the hurricane, but we raised like almost $15 million. We got to meet some of the like craziest celebrities. Like, Shonda Rhimes was at our opening night. We met the Clintons. Like, it was insane. I literally felt like Beyonce. I was like, this is what it must be like. We would start the show, and then whenever, you know, he makes his entrance and he does "I am Alexander Hamilton," like, the show would literally stop for like 2 minutes of just applause and like a standing ovation. Like, he is there.
That feeling must have been otherworldly.
Yeah. No, that whole thing you just said about like with Michigan high school, all that sounds like such an incredible journey. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've been spoiled rotten, and I'm trying not to take that for granted.
Definitely. And
you've devoted this to this since you were, since you were 9 years old, but even if you say that you've really devoted yourself to this craft since you were 15. Like, that's a I commend you and other artists who, you know, you start early on and you kind of just work. You just take it the next step at a time. It seems like what you did, at least, like, you knew that the arts high school was what you wanted and kind of what you needed. And then BFA program for college, and then it all unravels accordingly.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I'm so grateful. But no, when I think that's what, like, this whole pandemic has, like, opened my eyes for, I'm like, oh, this is such a huge part of my identity. And, like, it was really like, I was sitting there and I was like, who am I without this? Because I'm going to be without this for so long. And, like, it was so scary. It was so hard at first. And, like, and it's so interesting to watch so many of my artist friends going through it right now as well. And, like,
performing.
And, like, you just, like, when you're in a schedule, like, for example, with Hamilton, like, we do 8 shows a week. So, like, I'm never, like, looking for an opportunity to be creative, because it's always there. I'm always, you know, I'm always working. So it's like, you forget how, like, good that is for you, like, spiritually, physically, mentally. It's like, oh my gosh, like, you forget that, like, it's such a part of your life. It's like, it's just like you're feeding yourself, and when you're feeding yourself, like, good things, and, like, you're being healthy, it's, when that's gone, you have to, you know, find ways to,
you know, sustain yourself.
To supplement.
Yeah, to supplement. And I'm so lucky right now, because I'm working right now. I do get to be creative, and I know that's not the case for, like,
everyone.
So many artists. Yeah. And so I'm pinching myself every second. I feel so lucky. I feel so blessed.
Definitely. I'm happy
hashtag
for
blessed.
You. So before we dive into, like, where you want to go and, like, where, how much more you want to grow, because I want to hear about that, I have a question that I've always wondered. When it comes to musical theater, what comes first? Knowing that, like, you have the ability to sing and you want to do that, or is it the acting? Because I've just always wondered, like, you know, like, you know, with musicals, like, is it, like, does the person know, like, I want to act, like, you start in just plays and you're like, oh, I can sing, I'll do musicals too, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think you can come at it at either angle, you know, if like, because there are some musicals that are, like, more acting based, and, you know, it's less about how you sound and more about,
okay,
you know, what you're saying and what you're singing. And then there are some shows that, like, require, like, intense vocal training, you know. And now, I mean, the thing about theater today is you got to be able to do both, like, at the same level.
Okay.
Because
it's
there, the stuff they're writing is, like, it's hard. Like, you take, like, Hamilton, for example, like, this, the material, like, they're rapping and singing, and it's, and, like, the storytelling, like, it's so intense. Like, there, it's all at the same level nowadays, which is making it so competitive and such a hard, tiring, relentless field to be in.
yet very rewarding, right?
So, like, with future episodes of your life and, like, where you're gonna be, where do you see yourself going?
I mean, it's so great when, like, for me, I also, like, I'm a huge social justice, like, I'm big on that stuff, and I got a minor in it in college as well. And so it's like, so I want to do more projects like what we did in Puerto Rico, where, like, you get to bring two of those worlds together. Like, you're doing art and you're doing it for a good cause, and it's raising awareness and it's raising money, and it's, you know, like, bringing revenue to the island, which is what they need, which is what they thrive on, you know. And
incredibly important
And impactful. And so definitely more of that stuff. But I also think more like on the artistic side, I really feel like I want us to push theater into, like, the future. I feel like there's so much technology at our fingertips, and I know people, you know, they want to keep it, not, I won't say old fashioned, but they want to keep it traditional and, you know, keep it, you know, but I think there's, like, I think we're missing out on opportunities. And I think we're missing out on narratives and stories that, like, because the old formula, I just feel like it's not really working, you know? They think, like, I get, like, there is the demographic of the older the white theater goer, you know, who
I'm talking.
So would you say that the people that you're referencing like are trying to cater to that older antiquated audience?
Right, exactly. And so I get that, but I'm like, there's, I know that if like the content is there and if it's like you get the right people in the room and like you tell the right story, like people are gonna come, you know what I mean? I think of something like Rent, like something that was so fresh when it came out and
Rent
it,
like, is lasted.
You know what I mean? It's like it was bold, it was new, it was of the time, it felt like it was topical. A story that like, you know, it was a story people wanted to be like, people wanted to hear
and could relate to.
You know, and I think technology can help us do that. I think I'm ready to see.
Completely.
I'm ready to see some crazy shit and do some crazy shit, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely also, I think accessibility is so important because, like you said, those audiences that we're catered to, it's also because they could pay to see those kind of shows. And after watching Hamilton on Disney Plus, I was like, yeah, I want to, like, it would be so cool to see this in person. Like, it gives you even more of an oomph to want to go out there. So I do think more accessibility in the digital age will actually bring more people to the theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hope so. So what, for you personally, though, I know that you and I have individually or separately spoken about your interest in going to grad school for directing.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about it. Yeah. So actually, a couple of programs I'm really interested in aren't accepting applicants this year. They're going to wait another year just
because of
coronavirus and such and such. So
they're like scratching the whole year's class?
Yeah, there won't be an incoming
class. Wow. I didn't know that people were doing that or universities were doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate it. It's like, you know, make someone...
Well, especially with programs that are so, well, A, the arts in general, but B, tangible arts in person, like theater, like directing, like,
right.
I respect them more that they're like, you know what, guys, like, let's just hold off. And then hopefully by the time we come around, you'll be able to get the full deal.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, how am I going to learn about directing if I can't be like in a room
with actors?
Yeah,
totally.
So I might. I mean, I guess that also means I might also push back on those plans. But yeah, it's something I'm thinking about. I still feel like I'm young in terms of my directing, my choreography. So I definitely like. I see it as a space for me to go and like fail and like make mistakes and really, really like hone my voice. And not do it on like a producer's dime. So
definitely,
I guess it's on my dime. but yeah. So yeah.
That's so exciting.
Thank you again, you know, for coming here and talking to us. You know, it's so good to hear about what you're doing and also hear about it from that, like, you know, theater perspective as well. So I love that. Usually what we try to do with our guests at the end of the episode to kind of wrap things up is we like to hit some rapid fire questions. So we're just going to shoot some things at you, you know, tell us what you think. What play that you've been in that is not yet been adapted do you think should be like pushed to screen?
Oh,
to the screen. Oh,
Good one, Cherry.
Something that I've done that should be on the screen. Oh, this is really good. Okay, speaking of like, you know, pushing it forward, something I did in a production of American Idiot, which is another like song cycle type show that's based off of,
the Green Day one, right?
It's like, it's so cool. I think it would translate so well in film. And yeah, it would elevate the storytelling for sure.
Is it everything you would imagine?
I wonder why they have
Green Day vibe to be kind of like punky?
Yeah.
Super punky. So fun.
Yeah, super intense. And it's like 90 minutes. It's like, you don't stop and it's great. And it's like a concert. It's,
That's so
cool. Okay, mine that I ask everyone is, who's your current celebrity crush?
My current celebrity crush is right now, Ari Lennox.
Oh, I love her music.
Yes,
she's so beautiful and cool and talented.
Yeah, she's the shit. She's my crush right now, for sure.
Love that.
She's dope. She is dope. What's another one for you? Okay. I'm going to steal this from Ariel. She usually says this, but now I'm going to say it. If you could be any ice cream flavor, what flavor would you be?
Ooh, now I want ice cream.
Which would you be? Not like, what's your favorite? There's a difference. Which would you embody as a flavor of ice cream?
Like, who are you if you're ice cream? What's the Chris ice cream flavor?
Okay. I'm going to give like some kind of like salted caramel or something. Because I feel like it's a little classy, it's like a little refined, but like also a party.
I see like a salted caramel macchiato flavor.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling. Chris, I think you were the first person who I like got acquainted with the term bougie when we were like probably like 16, or I think you were the first person that like said it, where I was like, oh, bougie. Love that. Okay, I have one for you. Who is your dream collaborator? Dream, like, shoot for the stars. If you had a genie in a bottle to collab with anyone, and you can do multiple people, you don't have to narrow it to one.
Dream. Oh my gosh. Okay, this is gonna sound silly, but you know who I want to work with? Kenny Ortega.
Kenny Ortega. No. It's not silly at all. Listen. It's not silly at all. Kenny Ortega is dope.
He is responsible for so many iconic things that like
and careers
inspired me and careers and like one like inspired me to like do what I do now. So
have you watched Julie and the Phantoms yet?
No, I haven't.
It's a new show, just came out on Netflix, and Kenny Ortega helped direct it as well. And the music in it is just so good. Like his ability for like original songs, like putting the choreography, like, oh, Descendants even is like so dope.
He was the OG High School Musical guy, right?
That's him. He did High School Musical. He also did like Hocus Pocus. He did Michael Jackson's final tour. Like, he is like a creative genius. I love him.
And he
like,
got a star recently.
Did he really? Yeah.
He got his star this year. Yeah.
Yeah. He's dope. And he like seems to be really low key and like.
Definitely.
And,
yeah.
Like, craft, and like likes to bring in.
I'm
like,
not gonna lie. I don't even know if I would recognize his face. But like, I obviously know the name. Wait, let me hold on. Hold.
Glasses,
I'm
going to Google him right black now. Hair.
Or
olive skin.
Ortega.
I think.
Kenny Ortega. He's 70.
Oh wow.
Shit.
Oh wow. I mean, he's been in it for a bit.
A literal legend, dare I say? High School Musical, Hocus Pocus, Descendants, Michael Jackson's Newsies, Descendants, all of them.
That. And a final question: you know, we love food here, and you know, you might give us some ideas for after this episode's done. What was your last Postmates order?
My friend and my roommate, who I was speaking about earlier, we ordered a big platter of Chinese food today. That was
amazing.
So good.
Obsessed. Yes,
we had some sesame chicken, some General Tso's chicken, some dumplings, some egg rolls, some lo mein, some rice.
Can I ask what kind of dumplings?
Pork dumplings.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
Fried. Good. I think they were fried. Yes, they were fried.
As they should be.
Yep. Yeah.
That sounds good. I might have to put an order in. I love that.
Yeah.
You can never go wrong with Chinese.
No, for real,
to take out.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for coming and chatting with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
It was so nice to hear more about what you're up to now and what you're going to be up to in the near future. And we'll have to have you back on down the road. And for real. And where can people find you? On social media or wherever.
Yes, All my info and stuff is on my at my Instagram, and my handle is ChrisKDC_.
Thank you for spending your Sunday evening with us. And
of course.
Don't forget to don't change the channel. Did that sentence make sense? I don't know. Anyway, this is Don't Change the Channel podcast. I'm Mara Winand, here with our guest, Chris Campbell, and my co-host,
Sharif T. Bakari.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.